The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. The parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. This is the very short word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Don't you love it when you've got short Bible readings? Thank you, Sarah. So if you'd like to stay and hear my thoughts on that, do. If you'd like to go next door, where's David is going to be leading some art for those who'd like to do it. It's not about age, it's to do with learning style. If you'd like to find out some ways of responding to that Bible passage, then do go next door. And then Katie, are you leading? And if any of the little ones, is it a Veggie Tales? Okay, we'll see. So if any of the little ones would like to go next behind, then you're very welcome to do that now. Well. So we're going to respond to the Word of God, and I'm just going to put a slide up. This is Terry Herbert. Mentioned something about him in a moment. So through August, we've been looking at parables of the kingdom. As we know, Jesus to all his teaching was about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. What is it like? And then he says it's like this, looked at different soil types and then weeds and various images. And so this is just the last one. I suggest you read the whole of Matthew 13 at some time, if you'd like, because it's all the parables of the kingdom put together by Matthew, and it's a good read, because together there's different images. And this one, well, I rather love. Terry Herbert, does anyone recognize him? Anyone know who he is? Points do not mean prizes. But, okay. Well, he was very big in the news in 2009, because in Staffordshire, he was metal detecting in a field, and he found the UK's largest ever hoard of Anglo-Saxon gold and silver pieces. So there were weapons, helmets, coins, and Christian crosses. Out of interest, anyone here do metal detecting? Okay, we'll see how you're missing out. Because there were more than 3,000 pieces, and it actually added up to over 5 kilograms of gold and over 2.5 kilograms of silver. It was probably the swag from a spectacular raiding party around the year AD 700. So Terry Herbert is an amateur metal detectorist living alone in a council flat on disability benefit. And he'd never really found any. He found a horse's harness from the Roman occupation. So, but that's not very exciting, really. And this, back 13 years ago, was worth £3.2 million. How do you think he felt? You can see the elation deep underground in his face. So Jesus tells a couple of stories that are a bit like this. The first one is about treasure that is hidden in a field, and a man finds it, and the sneaky man covers it over again. Why does he do that? It's not a trick question. To protect it so no one else is going to find it. Quickly covers it over again, and then he's willing to sell everything so he can buy that field, including the treasure trove. So that's the first. And then the second story is about the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, is like a merchant looking for fine pearls, and then he finds one that is spectacular. I mean, it's better than any he has ever seen, and he sells everything, all his other pearls and everything else he owns, just to get this one fantastic, superlative pearl. So, there we have it. That's what the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is like. So I hope that clears that up. So I know some of you hate this. Don't panic if you don't want to. Just close your eyes and be holy. But if not, tell your neighbor. So what is the meaning of the story? In what way is that like the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven? Not a trick question. In what way does Jesus mean the kingdom of God is just like that?
You could talk on Zoom.
Okay, I'm going to have to call you back again because some of you are talking about your lunch now. You got distracted. The question is, in what way are these two stories saying something about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven? A man who finds treasure in a field set alongside a man searching for fine pearls. Well, the two different stories, related but different, sort of function together in some ways. I think they're sort of usually interpreted as wonderful pictures about the different way different people come to faith. So some people just, they're wandering through a field and they stumble across the kingdom of God. They weren't really looking for it. And there it is. Oh, I didn't know that was there. Whereas other people have gone through a lot of existential angst, finding what's the meaning of life? Is there a God? Or if they're dyslexic, is there a dog? And trying to work out, putting it all together in some meaningful way, but it's been their quest. So if you have put your life into the hands of God, which parable best describes you? So were you a random finder, or were you an earnest searcher? And just let's be bold. Who says you were like the wise men, searched diligently for the child until you found who Jesus was? How many of you say you did a degree of searching? Okay, so some of you here. How many of us, and my experience was complete, almost randomly, I came across the kingdom of God. I didn't know I was looking for it, and then I discovered it, or it discovered me. How many of you? Okay, so the majority of people haven't yet come to faith. So if you haven't yet said yes to Jesus, I'd really encourage you to do it, because you won't be disappointed. Whatever the process, though, the outcome is the same. Getting to know God through Jesus is completely worth it. And actually, both say, whatever the cost, it's always a bargain. We always get more from God than we feel we're giving up or sacrificing for him. And it's always been true, actually. Back in Deuteronomy 6, we have the words of the Shema Yisrael. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, mind and strength. You know, every compartment of your life, giving it fully to God. That's what the deal is. It's always been that. That's what discipleship, Old and New Testament, is about. But actually finding it's completely worth it. And if you're not sure about that, if you feel you haven't yet given your life to Jesus, genuinely, I'd love to speak with you. I'm going to be running an adult baptism and confirmation course from the end of September, just 4 sessions, looking at the basics of our faith with a view to being baptized or confirmed and then receiving communion. And the confirmation is where the bishop lays hands on you and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Be strengthened with the Spirit of Jesus. And I so need that, and I guess you need that just as much as me. So that's how traditionally the stories together are explained. But given all that, I don't think it's true. I don't think that is what the parables are actually saying. Because in every other parable in Matthew 13, the parables of the kingdom, the man is God. And rather than us giving up stuff, that doesn't seem to be what Jesus is saying in other parables. And so how does that work? If God is the man in the parable, what does it mean? It means that Jesus, God the Father, God the Spirit, looks on you as a beloved child who is very lost, whom he longs to see back and in relationship again. Jesus sees you as his treasure, but you're hidden in a field. Deeply hidden sometimes. And I love the way the crafty man hides it over again. I believe that's something possibly to do with the work of the Spirit, which we might call sanctification. The process of being made holy. When I came to Jesus, I was so aware of the dirt in my life, of how I needed to be washed, that I was not beautiful, that I was not worth looking at. But by his Spirit, Jesus comes and cleans us up so that the beauty over time is revealed. Jesus does it because he sees you're beautiful. He's made you in his own image and wants to see that image restored. So what did the man do? He, in his joy, he sold everything he had. He had to buy you and me back. Jesus left the glory of heaven. He became one of us, even paying our full price on the cross. As the writer to the Hebrews says, Jesus is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Quite often when we think about the cross, we're thinking about the pain and the suffering and the loss. And of course, that's appropriate. But here, there's a different angle from the writer to the Hebrews, saying, actually, he did it with not with a heavy heart, but with a joyful heart. Because, as the ad says, he thought you were worth it. That was invented by God long before someone in the ad industry. God thinks you're worth it. For joy, he left heaven, gave it all away. He's the man who sells everything. Your hidden treasure, deeply hidden. You're a pearl of great price. You're the beloved one to Almighty God, even when you don't see it to yourself. So Jesus leaves the safety and the glory of heaven, sells everything in his death to buy us back. It's a lovely psalm, a meditation really on the problem of suffering, on death, why things just don't work out correctly. Good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. I do commend it to you, Psalm 73. It's a brilliant piece of thinking and exploration and prayer. And by the end, there's a transformation happened in the heart of the psalmist. And he says, actually, God, you're still in control. Whom have I in heaven but you, and earth has nothing I desire besides you. Something has happened for the psalmist, realizing it's still worth it, even though it sometimes feels it isn't. And maybe you've had a really difficult time in life, and you're thinking, crumbs, is this worth it? Can I keep going? And I hope you will know God loves you. He sees you as something deeply precious to him. He's given up everything. And actually, whatever you are going through, not saying God's causing that in any way, But whatever it is, persevere, because ultimately God is the prize, and he is worth everything that we have. Treasure hidden in the field. Well, maybe you just stumbled into the faith. Maybe you're still more like the pearl merchant, searching for it. But ultimately, it's not about us finding God. He was never lost. I was lost. He's the good shepherd. He's the one who gave up everything for me. So let's just hold those thoughts for a moment. Thank you, God, that we are precious to you. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to learn how to love you more than everything else. Where our treasure is, that's where our hearts are as well. So, Lord, may we grow in understanding the nature of your kingdom. It's not about our hard work, it's about your amazing grace. And may we, in response to your love, choose to give you the best that we have and all that we have. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll just continue in prayer. So I invite you to think of people or places where life is really hard. Maybe an individual that only you know. Maybe the thousands, tens of thousands of people in Pakistan displaced by terrible floods. Just call out to God for those who need God's help today. Father, we pray for all who are overwhelmed by the floods of life, physically, emotionally, spiritually, for those who are burdened by their inadequacies or their failures, for those who are burdened by grief or pain. Lord Jesus, would you come in your mercy? Would you show them the next step? For those who feel completely alone, Lord, we pray that you will place good people in their lives to love and encourage them. And we pray, Lord, for the Christian church, your people, to be glorious. That you'll get more of the muck off this hidden treasure. And that people will see the light of Jesus in us. I invite you to pray right now for a different church. Maybe in this city, maybe somewhere else. Just pray for another church right now, for God's blessing to be upon it, that the light of Jesus will just be exploding from it, calling people to come to know Jesus. And Lord, may we let our light shine, that people may see our good works and glorify our Father who's in heaven.